one of the most encouraging things that can happen to any person, especially a believer, but it can happen to any person, I think, is to know that when you're going through a difficult time, and that difficult time can take many forms. It could be a difficult time in your family. It could be a difficult time at work. All kinds of different ways you can go through hard times. When another person comes up to you and says, "I've been praying for you." I don't know how that makes you feel, but when somebody tells me that, that makes me feel good. Amen? It does. There's just something about, you know, being able to tell somebody that you've been praying for them as they go through whatever they are going through. You know, I think we take it, maybe not for granted, that we should do that in the church as members of the body of Christ. When we are aware of these kinds of things that people go through, that we should do that. But could it go beyond that? Could it go outside of this church? Could prayer be used in an effective way for people that maybe don't know the Lord as their personal Savior? Now that's a new thought, and maybe not a new thought, but maybe a new idea or a new practice. Should we do that? I think yes, but do we do that? That's where it's more difficult. So we're going to talk about that this morning. I'm in a two-week series, and it's entitled Praying for You. And last week, we talked about just the fact you've got to have prayer. And we looked at different ways that we can pray. And we looked in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we looked at different ways that we can be praying for people. Today, we're going to talk about praying for you. And I have just a couple of verses this week that will help explain what we're doing. The first one is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, this is a pretty well-known verse, and so I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. Okay? "But you will receive power, Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Pretty well-known verse. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it. Maybe you've heard it a number of times. The thing that always strikes me about Acts 1:8 and a couple of other verses is it says this, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth." You know, but what it doesn't tell you there is how you are to be that witness, does it? It doesn't specifically tell you how you're to be a witness. I think maybe God did that on purpose. Did the same thing in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go make disciples of all nations." But does God in that verse or in this verse give you any specific plan to do that? He really doesn't. He says just go and be a witness. And so what we have done, and I think in a very good sense, is that what we have done is we have godly people that have gone into God's Word, and they have figured out ways to be a witness and verses that we could use to help be witnesses. Steps to Peace with God. Now, who is the author of this little tract? Well, the ultimate author is Jesus. Thank you for that answer. But who is the author here? It is Billy Graham. Billy Graham came up with a way of helping people to be a witness. Do you know how to have steps to peace with God? And he walks through a plan for sharing that particular information. Another plan, closer to evangelism explosion. James Kennedy, may I ask you a question? You were to die, where would you go? That's his question. And then he also helps people to be a witness in that way. The interesting thing is, I've thought about this over the years, there's no one way to do this, folks. There's a lot of good ways to be witnesses. The important thing is, let's go to the next verse. As we were looking in 1 Timothy last week, we saw that Paul, who wrote to Timothy, made it very clear. And for this purpose, I, Paul, was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. He says, I was appointed a herald. I was appointed a messenger. It's interesting. In Philippians, Paul says, as I follow Christ, Christ, Paul, you are to follow me. When we went through the book of Philippians, I made that comment. So much of the New Testament, Paul authored with the Holy Spirit. And as Paul looked at Christ, we are to look at Paul as our example. One of the things he is telling us here is you need to be a herald. You need to be an announcer of the true faith. But he doesn't tell you here exactly how to do that, does he? Do you see the plan right there? I don't exactly see that. They don't do that in a number of key verses that I think we're fairly familiar with in the New Testament. Well, what does at least the good news have to contain? We have to at least define what is the gospel or what is the good news. And let's go to our next verse. There is one verse. I'm sorry, there's two verses. Actually, they're both together. Where the gospel is defined. What is the good news? It can involve a lot of good things. But here is where the gospel is defined. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. Here is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You must, as a herald, as a witness, understand that we have to talk about Christ dying for our sins. Not for His sins, for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried. He died on a cross and that He was buried. And the reason He mentions this is that you don't bury living people, do you? You bury dead people. Christ died, is the point here. That He was buried and that what? He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. So He came back to life. Nobody else has done that. No other message contains that good news, that He came back to life on the third day. So, my point of these couple of verses is that we're to be witnesses. We are to share that good news. But it doesn't tell us in any of those verses exactly how to do that. And so what we have done, and over the years that I've been with you, we've used a number of different ways of talking about our faith when we have that opportunity, when we get to the point of talking about salvation in Christ. Okay? Now, how does this all relate to prayer? Well, last week, we saw a very interesting verse that talked about it is God's will that all men come to faith in Christ, that all be saved. And we looked at that and we talked about that verse. And so we're thinking, all right, in evangelism, in sharing our faith, it is very important that we begin the process with that. In other words, before we say something to somebody, that we have prayed and we're ready to then share something with them. My thought to you this morning is this. What about, instead of before evangelism, why don't you make that evangelism? Now that's an interesting thought. Instead of it being before evangelism, which is very important, why don't you make that evangelism? Stay with me for a few minutes here. This is rather interesting. All right, so how do we begin this whole process? What I'm sharing with you, excuse me, is what Kevin and I saw at a pastor's meeting, and it was very encouraging to me. And what I'm going to do this morning for the rest of the time is walk you through a process of how you can do this. Okay, but this begins the same way any other opportunity to share Christ begins. On your outline, you have to begin with dependency on God. To begin with, you've got to depend on God. Nothing has changed in that regard. God does this. His Spirit works through you. But in order to do this, we have to depend on God in this process. So it begins with God. If you have the opportunity to lead people to Christ, you say, thank you, God, for working through me to do that. Because it's all about Him. The next step, then, is you've got to be kind to people. You've got to begin building bridges, got to begin building relationships to people. And be kind to them. Did that ever win anybody to Christ? Do grumpy, grouchy, cantankerous people do that? No, they don't. Who wants to be grumpy, grouchy, and cantankerous? Who wants to follow that example?
I don't. Do you? Do you?
No.
One more time. Do you? All right. I was really frightened there for a moment. Oh, goodness. All right.
So we depend on Him. You've got to be kind. You've got to be able to have and begin a basic relationship with someone.
All right. Next thing on your outline. Let's start thinking. Who are your people of influence? Who is on your list of influence? Who do you interact with? Who do you touch base with?
Okay, let me... couple of things here. I think there's three blanks below that. Number one is family. There may be people that you know in your family that don't know the Lord, or maybe they're thinking about the Lord, but you can pick out those people. You can target those people. How about this? Friends that you're beginning relationships with, or that you know a little bit. They would be people that you could begin a process of using prayer, not before evangelism, but during evangelism and outreach. And the final one would be acquaintances. Not quite as close with acquaintance as you are with friends. These are just people that could come up to you at any time, at any place. They just walk into your life. Okay. Now, next point on your outline is this. When somebody shares with you, I'm going to take it for granted now that you can get through the first part of saying, hi, how are you doing, what's going on, where's your life at? I mean, I'm taking it for granted that we can get to that point, and most people can get you to that point. They're going to say something in their conversation with you. And what you're going to do is you're going to pick up on whatever they're saying and ask them a very simple question. Very simple question. Would you mind if I prayed about blank for you? Would you mind if I prayed about blank for you? Now, Cindy, leave this on, if you would, for a while. I'm going to see if I can do this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go talk to three people in the audience this morning. Don't freak out. Although they're not prepared for this, I need to go down this aisle right here for a minute and sit by somebody. Now, remember, what were the three categories?
Family, friends, and acquaintances.
All right. I'm a little late, sorry. Gosh, kind of crowded up here. Yeah. What is this no-doze doing right here?
What?
Get that no-doze out of here.
Not if you don't fall asleep and that he's boring.
Anyway, we have to explain this thing to her. All right. That was supposed to be a joke. It just went like that. All right. Well, how are you doing today, my daughter?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing okay, huh? How's school going? Back in school after Christmas, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, usually when you and I talk, I can't get you to shut up. Now, I know you can say more than that, but... So, tell me a little bit about classes. Okay. So you have finals next week.
Yes. I have finals.
You have finals next week. All right. Very good.
Well, actually, I think it's the week after that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's our next week.
There's a lot of people helping us with this conversation, aren't they? But they're your friends. Okay. Interesting, Deborah. Would you mind if I prayed about your finals for you?
No.
Would you like me to do that?
Yes.
Is there anything specific about your finals? Is there one class that you're probably... Your math final.
Yes.
Okay.
A math final.
And that would be with Mr. Reed, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you can... You wouldn't mind if I prayed about your math final for you.
Sure,
yes. All right, very good. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, excuse me. Don't let me step on you. Gosh. I'm not the most graceful. All right. That's a family member. Could you do that with somebody in your family? Come on, you can talk to people in your family. Now, where it breaks down just a little bit is that part of this is talking about evangelism to people who don't know the Lord. Now, my daughter knows the Lord, but you could have a conversation like that with anybody about that. But how about
how about if I do friends? I think I have some friends in this church. I don't know. I need to ask you a favor. Can you slide down a little bit here? You too, sir. All right. Wow. A little late. Behave. Girl, I'm a little late here getting to church. I heard the pastor doesn't go real long here. Is that the case?
I sure hope not.
Ah, okay. Do we have a lot of work to do? How about those Packers?
Don't even talk about Packers.
All right. All right. Well, Pat, you and I have known each other a little bit, just for a while. And is there, you know, how are you doing physically? Is there something that, you know, because you've shared some of these things with me. Is there something coming up in the near future?
We're hoping.
What would that be, actually?
We're hoping for approval on a surgery.
All right, so approval on a surgery. And what exactly is this
for
your
knee?
You know, Debbie didn't tell me that. She said it was a lobotomy.
Well, that's if the knee doesn't get done, then we're going to have to go.
Then we go to the head after? Oh, okay, okay, sorry. Sorry. Debbie actually didn't say that. I just said that.
Yeah,
she wouldn't have, she wanted to, but she didn't.
She tried what?
All right. Well, very good. So, you're going to have surgery. Pat, would you mind if I prayed about your surgery for you?
No, I would appreciate it very much.
And you would appreciate a lot of people praying for you about your upcoming surgery, because I know this is not the first one. This is one of many, and we're hoping that this will be successful.
We're hoping that this will be the last.
The last. All right. Very good. All right. Now, with a friend that you have some relationship with, that you know them a little bit, they share things with you in conversation, you know, you can do that. It just came up as part of the conversation. What about an acquaintance? Maybe not quite as close in terms of a friend, but maybe an acquaintance that I could talk to, good man, and do something like that with. Nice to see you, Cheryl. All right, I'm going to sit back here. Everybody's turning around and looking at us. They don't normally do that in this church. So, all right. Wow, I'm here. Hi, Gail. How are you doing, Gail? Has this been a good week? It's been an awesome week for you, hasn't it? Now, you know, we just get to know each other a little bit, and I know one of the things that you shared with me is you've been hunting for a new job or a different job. And so how's the search been going?
Very good.
The search has been going very good. You have to talk up a little louder. Okay. It's okay. This is unrehearsed, isn't it, Gail?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. So in fact, I had the opportunity to pray for you.
Yes, you did. I called you and you said you would pray about the position that I applied for.
Okay.
They made me an offer the very next day.
They made you an offer the very next day. Amen. It's good to have the pastor praying, isn't it? Oh, goodness. Well, neat. You know what, Gail, would you mind if I prayed about your new job for you as you begin to start it? That, you know, you're going to meet new people, you got a new boss, he could be difficult, he could be great, I or she, I don't know. Would you mind if I prayed about your new job for you?
No, I would love it. Thank
you. Okay. All right, good. You see how this works? I can do this. And if I can do this, can you do this? Amen. Now, I'm going to talk to you. Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Deborah. It's that simple. This is what Kevin and I basically watched, or some of the information was about, and it was very, very helpful. It doesn't matter what relationship it is. I believe as people share things with you, you just have to be ready to pick up on them and to ask them if you could pray for them. All right, now, these are people that you might know, obviously. Let's go another direction. Next part of your outline is this. For other people, I want you to try something a little different. And maybe you'll have to change this. These are other people. These are people that you come in contact with that you don't know. They're not a family, a friend, or an accountant, or an acquaintance. How about this? Try saying this. I have begun to pray more. Would you mind, or is there anything in your life I might pray for? Now, maybe that will work for you, maybe not. Change this upper line. I've begun to try and walk with God. I've begun to try and be more spiritual. That's okay, too, to say that. Or you can just say, I have begun to pray more. You can use that as an opening. Is there anything in your life that I might pray for? Is there anything? Now, in regard to that, let me give you some ideas. And again, there's a couple of blanks. And we've got three thoughts here. Health issues would be the first. Go ahead and bring the second one up. Family issues would be the second. And the third would be job issues. So that now this person just started a conversation with you. You probably will see him again. That is part of this too. You probably will. And you guys get in a conversation. And you can be thinking in these areas here are where there are usually always concerns, always needs. This drop-down menu, if you will. That's how they teach it in the training, George. It's a drop-down menu, right? Yep. See, George knows this. George is ready. So, health, family, or job. All right. Well, let's go back into it. I'm going to go up to somebody who's a complete stranger to me on the street. And actually, I might be fudging on that just a little bit. But let's say I happen to sit by this man right here with his little Bronco car. And, hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Rick. They don't come any stranger.
Rick, I'm a pastor. Is there anything you need to confess to this church this morning before you go on? I can't believe I did. I had to.
One thing. When Dave was sitting back here earlier, I took his notes and put them in my Bible. But even I couldn't do that by game.
All right, but if you meet somebody who's a complete stranger in some context, well, you know, because you will. It could be any place. How's your family going right now? You know, I've got two kids. You have how many?
Two kids.
Good.
Things are going well.
They're going well, yeah, good. You know, with your family, your house, this is such a nice area to live. Anything going on with the house? All this rain, did you get any water in the house?
No water in the house.
What a pinhead.
Do I talk to strangers like that?
I do when they're you. Are you doing some remodeling to your house, or am I going to have to drag it out of here?
No, we're having a major remodel of our house, and it's a disaster area.
Kind of a hard thing, and, you know, having to pick out things, and it's always a mess. And I guess looking at how sharply you are dressed, that dust and dirt and clutter, all that bothers you. Is that right?
Absolutely.
All right, good. Good. Would you mind? No, hang on. Start over. I've begun to pray more. Would you mind if I prayed for your house remodeling?
I'd love that. I appreciate that very much.
All right. Now, that may be, he actually does need prayer about that, by the way, because it's been quite a process, a real good process. But you're going to have to work a little bit to bring out things, but within those three areas right there, you will be able to find things in people's life that you can begin to pray for. Now, as I shared with you earlier, it's easier to start with family, friends, and acquaintances. But there's going to be times when you have the opportunity to talk to people that are complete strangers, and maybe you'll see them again. And maybe you'll have this opportunity. So this can work both ways. All right. Let's do this. Finally, last part of your outline. What I am doing this morning is I'm hitting the mountain peaks here. And we'll talk more about a more complete thing. Number one, not number one, but just select a place, a time and a place. In other words, you have the opportunity to do this with somebody. Make sure you do this, that you will pray for them. And you need to have a consistent time every day and probably a consistent place that you can do this. And maybe not just once a day, but a couple of times through the day. Okay, second, have a prayer partner. I'm going to suggest that you find somebody you can do this with. It could be a husband and a wife doing this together. It could be a friend, somebody in a group that you're with. Have a prayer partner because there's a little more accountability there in order to do this and to accomplish this. Okay, next, what you're going to do is, I didn't finish those conversations, but I would have finished them probably something like this. Well, today is Sunday. Would you mind if I get back to you and ask you how you're doing in 1 week? In 1 week. In 5 days. In 7 days. In 3 days. It's okay. At least let some time go by, a minimum of 3 days, that you could talk to them later. Okay, so you do this and you go back to the person. And they may have even forgotten that you're praying for them. Probably not, though. Most people remember something like this. And probably what will happen is you're gonna say, you know, I had a good week, and I just want you to know I prayed for you every day. I prayed for you that your job would go well this coming week. As you finish your first job and you begin this new banking job, that's what Gail's going to be doing this week. How did it go, Gail? How are things going? And then you're going to hear something back, good, bad, and that. And it gives you an opportunity then to say, can I continue to pray for this? Is there anything more specific that I can pray and continue a relationship in this way? Next thing is you're going to have to answer any questions. Answer any questions. Somebody, you do this for somebody, even a family member or a friend or something like that, they're going to have questions, you know. It's kind of an interesting thing. Why did you start doing this? I mean, nobody's prayed for me like that. It's going to lead you into all kinds of questions you're going to need to be able to answer. And then finally, your motive, one of your motives here is then to share the gospel. You're going to have a way where you can share the good news about Jesus Christ and what He has done. Talk to them a week later. Set up another round of prayer, if you will. Now, the thing is, this works for everybody. Because there is somebody that's in your life that you can pray for and be praying for. And we are all commanded to witness, and I understand that can be a tough thing, you know, because many of the models and examples we have in the Scripture are Paul-type witnesses that are just very direct, blunt, and forward. There is a place for that. But then there's also a place for something like this, because God did not give us one specific way to share our faith with others. You'll have the opportunity to do that. George Conley is going to start a class next Sunday morning. It's going to be at 9 o'clock. We've got Praying for You, and it's 5 weeks. Now, really, I've been through all 5 weeks, and they go about 45 minutes each one, and there's notes and an outline you can fill in. I gave you just the bare minimum that I can do in about 30 minutes or so, but he will go through, start the class with prayer. Right, George? That's a good way to start. Turn on the DVD player. Listen to it, fill in the blanks, and you don't need a lot of training to do this. You really don't. And you can do it. And I wanted to share this with you because it really touched my heart when I had the opportunity to do this about 6 weeks ago. And I have been practicing this and am currently in the process of praying for people, a couple of people, for various things that hopefully will open the door to them asking questions and me sharing the good news. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for just this opportunity to talk with friends and acquaintances. Thank you, Lord, that you're not just a one-dimensional God, that you want us to be witnesses and you want us to use as many ways as possible to be able to share your love and your good news with others. So I would pray, Lord, that you would encourage us as your people to put this into practice. I pray that there'll be a number of people that go through this class with George. They will be blessed and encouraged by it. I thank you for the opportunity to have been exposed to this. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can give to you, and we do that gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.